This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Neurothera from Claire Labs. Your brain's complex metabolism requires many different nutrients for optimal performance. Neurothera is a broad-spectrum neuronutrition formula that supports the central nervous system and cognitive capacity. Used daily, Neurothera supports mental clarity and cognitive function. It provides the essential building blocks for optimal brain health. For more information and to purchase Neurothera, just go to my online dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and I hope you're all having a great summer and a healthy one. We're back doing our weekly Q&A with Layla and broadcasting an urgent appeal because some of you may be on vacation and we're running a little short on questions.
Yeah.
So this is a great time to get your question up front. So we have plenty of questions for today's broadcast, but I just want to have a few questions in reserve for next week. So
yeah.
radioprogram@AOL.com. Take your best shots. Come up with the question related to medicine and nutrition, and we'll answer it. I'm today with Layla Mutin. She's our nutritionist in residence, and we're fielding questions from you. So before we get to questions, though, I'd like to share with you, actually, I want to tee off with you on what I consider an example of fake news.
Hmm.
And no, it's not about the Russia investigation, and no, it's not about, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
We're not taking sides here, folks. There's a lot of fake news going around, and quite a lot of it has to do with health and nutrition. And so, actually, I did a video on this, so if you care to go to Facebook, you can check out my video comments. But we're going to do a little bit of a deep dive on it, right, Layla?
Yes.
Headline here, fat consumption is the only cause of weight gain. This according to a study, yet another study, on the ideal diet for humans. The study was published in a journal called Cell Metabolism. Yeah, I don't know what kind of journal that is because it's not exactly on my hit parade of journals, but it's out there. And it purports to be the ultimate study, which is the largest study of its kind, looking at what components of diet, fat, carbohydrates, or protein, cause weight gain. And it flies in the face of what so many people are saying these days, which is that the relatively high-fat, low-carb diet is the way to go. And experientially, we've seen it work, right?
Oh, yeah. And hundreds of times over.
And of course, the low fat diet,
uh-huh,
which this seems to support, they say fat consumption is the only cause of weight gain.
Yeah.
That's a pretty absolute statement, right?
It's very absolute.
The only cause of weight gain.
No, that.
Okay.
You can't do that in science.
One problem with this study, it was done in mice. Okay. But it's so grandiose in its overreaching conclusions. They say here that they tried out 30 different diets that vary in their fat, carbohydrate, and protein contents. So it's like a whole spectrum of like high fat, low carb, low fat, high carb, even a high carb diet including as much as 30% of calories from sugar.
Oy.
So they say that carbohydrates including up to 30% of calories coming from sugar had no effect on weight gain. The only factor that had an impact on weight gain was fat. And they say that these effects of dietary fat seem to be because uniquely fat in the diet stimulated the reward centers in the brain, stimulating greater intake. So I would ask you, a candy cane that you eat, you know, for Christmas.
Yeah.
Cotton candy. It's delicious, isn't it?
I mean, cotton candy. No.
At this point, my teeth cringe at the thought.
Oh, completely.
I know, but hey, a lot of people are into that.
Yeah.
That has no impact on weight gain.
Oh, my
According
goodness.
To this study.
Could you imagine? That's like saying the science is settled. You can't speak in such absolutes, especially when it comes to science. And are these scientists not aware of the hormonal causes of obesity? Have they never had a conversation about with Jason Fung?
Insulin?
About insulin?
Yeah.
For example? Yeah, that really flies in the face of that. And a mouse study. We always have to be careful with rodent studies because you can't really extrapolate from that and apply the results to humans.
This is a very sophisticated study. They had you know what an MRI machine looks like? You ever had an MRI? It's a big honking machine, right? I had one for my foot because my foot was hurting. Mm-hmm. So it's a big machine, but they had these mini MRIs for the mice, mouse-sized MRIs. I wonder what they look like. Like, look like Tinker Toys. And they measured their adiposity, their body fat percentage, with great precision. They did over 1,000 measurements. No, excuse me, 100,000 measurements on these mice of body weight changes. And their body fat was measured using a micro MRI machine. This must have cost a fortune.
Oh my goodness.
It involved a collaborative team of scientists from the University of Aberdeen in Scotland and the Chinese Academy of Sciences. And most of the authors of the study are Chinese. I think it was an excuse for them to go to Scotland and drink whiskey.
And eat haggis.
And eat haggis.
And golf.
And golf. That could be.
That could be.
The Chinese, the avid golfers. Okay. So, but anyway, so they did this study, 30 different diets, and they also measured responses of the neurotransmitters associated with reward. Mm-hmm. Dopamine, opioid neurotransmitters, serotonin pathways were all stimulated by fat intake. That fat turned on the brain. Mm-hmm. But then nothing else turned on the brain. Sugar and carbohydrates didn't turn on the brain of these mice.
Of these mice. Because you know it would light up any brain in a human being.
Yes.
So, human brain, honestly.
Right. Who doesn't love sugar?
Oh, who doesn't? Sure.
You know, I
chocolate. Shortbread cookie.
An example of which, we went out to dinner with friends. Uh-huh. And they're on a clean diet, but not quite. And so it's like they come around with a dessert menu. Usually the dessert menu is a ritual. You say, well, it doesn't cost any calories to look at the dessert menu. So we looked at the dessert menu and they both ordered this like an ice cream eclair from hell. It was ice cream instead of cream with chocolate syrup on top and fresh and creme fraiche.
Oh my goodness.
And it arrived and these things were like, we thought they were going to be just little things, and they were really big. Uh-huh. And so they said, "You please help us out. You got to help us out." So I tasted it. I said, "Okay, I wouldn't order it, but somebody else ordered it. I got to help the war effort here because it's going to." So I tasted it. It was ambrosia to my brain.
Sure.
And yeah, there was fat, but mostly it was a lot of sugar.
It was a lot of sugar. Yeah. Exactly.
And so, and what happened was, they started to greedily devour it, and I was looking at them, and I was almost salivating, saying, "Give me that plate!" But I had to show my virtue.
Yes,
and,
yes.
You know, because I'm
course.
A professional nutritionist, and of course, I have restraint.
Right.
So I just took a couple of bites. Mm-hmm. But
and you hid your pleasure.
Right. So, yeah. So if they did the micro MRI machine on me, or the macro MRI machine on me, well, actually, if they measured my neurotransmitters at that time, they were like,
kindles, dopamine.
Right, through the reward center of my brain.
You have to wonder, if they say it's fat, I want to know what did they feed these mice that were fatty? They wouldn't have given them, a hunk of lard or something. That's not going to light up the brain.
This is another thing.
It's going to contain sugar.
Many studies where they administer a high-fat chow, they call it chow, to these mice and rats.
Yeah.
If you actually look at the materials in methods, which is really boring, and sometimes it's in four pica print. You can't read it. You go blind reading it because it's supposed
to
be boring.
But it's the most important part.
What did they actually feed them?
Yeah.
The chow, the high-fat standard chow that they use for the experiments, is actually really high in carbohydrates.
There you go.
It just has a lot of soybean oil added to it to give the fat.
Right.
It's not even necessarily saturated fat.
Yeah.
So, how does that relate to humans? I mean, they say here, a clear limitation of the study is that it is based on mice rather than humans. However, mice have lots of similarities to humans in their physiology and metabolism. Well, yes, they do. They're mammals.
They eat.
They have warm blood. But what do mice generally go for cheeseburgers? I mean, if you give a mice, I think if you give a mouse a choice between a grain and a cheeseburger without the bun, I think they're going to go for the grain.
I think they're going to go for the French fry.
Yeah,
or something that. Or or for the bits of bread.
So,
or the
more likely, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this very elaborate study, and the headline, this is a real grabber. Fat consumption is the only cause of weight gain. So if you just eliminate fat, you won't gain weight.
Yeah.
Right?
Everybody who's insulin resistant and diabetic, get rid of the fat in your life. You'll become more diabetic and you'll gain more weight.
Well, it does work. Look, we have to say that it works for some people.
Mm-hmm.
Some people on a very, very low fat diet are real thin.
Yeah.
And perhaps they're vegan.
Mm-hmm.
And it works for them.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
By and large, the whole low fat thrust has been counterproductive. So I just submit that as...
If anything, it's worked for maybe 15 to 20% of the population. If we can quantify...
And there may be a genetic component to that.
Really not more than that,
a genetic...
I think it also has to do with age. You know, the person who's vegan in their 20s, their metabolism isn't reacting the same way in their 40s and 50s.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things change. We become more carbohydrate intolerant as we get older.
Yeah, insulin resistance tends to build.
The fact that this headline uses the word only, like this is absolute.
Yeah.
It's settled. No, it's never settled.
Yeah.
We must always question.
Well, it's also, I think
it's not scientific.
Over-ambitious conclusion from a study.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At the very least. Fake news, folks.
Fake news. Yep.
Beware.
Right.
Okay, folks, at this point, let's allow one of our sponsors to share this important message with you. Here goes. Listen up. Your brain's complex metabolism requires many different nutrients for optimum performance. Excessive release of adrenaline and cortisol, plus environmental exposures and oxygenation, may be impacting your alertness, memory, and other vital functions. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a broad-spectrum neuronutrition formula that supports the central nervous system and cognitive capacity. It's NeuroThera from Claire Labs. NeuroThera provides balanced neuronutrition. Used daily, NeuroThera supports mental clarity and cognitive function. It promotes blood, oxygen, and glucose delivery to the brain and helps protect against oxidative stress and inflammation. NeuroThera provides the essential building blocks for optimal brain health. I believe in NeuroThera so much that I've included it in the Intelligent Medicine Brain Health Protocol. For more information and to purchase NeuroThera, just go to my online dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a free resource to you. And now back to our questions. What's next, Layla?
Okay. We've got some questions here. We have one from John. Hi, Doc and Layla. Are there any benefits to using fermented turmeric? I've been using the BCM95 curcumin, as it's purported to provide the highest level of benefit. But how
and
does
we did some interviews on BCM95, and in two realms, it's actually been shown to be beneficial. One is cancer.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen that using that material.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying the other curcumins are without value, but BCM95 has at least been tested. It's a nice ingredient.
Yeah.
And for cancer benefits, but also antidepressive benefits. It seems to work on the brain and reduces inflammation.
Yeah, there is a curcumin for the brain.
Cogumin. Mm-hmm.
Very, very good, yeah.
And then there was one on theracumin recently. What was it found to be beneficial for? Many things, but I recall that was also used in a study recently.
Mm-hmm. So John is asking, how does fermented turmeric compare in its efficacy?
Well, first let me just say that there are turmeric wars going on right now.
Yeah.
Everybody knows turmeric is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we also know that it's got limited bioavailability.
Yeah.
So the buzzword in turmeric technology is bioavailability and enhancing its delivery. So through liposomal systems, such as we use something called, the product is... liposomal curcumin.
Mm-hmm.
That's supposedly delivers it more effectively.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the cogumin, which is thought to have the ability to penetrate the blood-brain barrier. So you're looking, everyone's looking for a way to distinguish their brand of curcumin.
Yeah.
And fermented curcumin has come into vogue.
It has come into vogue. Now, it is said to enhance the production of other curcuminoids, primarily tetrahydrocurcumin,
right,
which may be much more bioavailable. Now, we can compare this to, say you take cabbage.
Let's define something. Yeah. Is that there's a spectrum of curcuminoids.
Yes.
Oid means curcumin-like compounds. So it's thought that you derive the most benefits from the spectrum of the curcuminoids as opposed to one fraction.
Yeah. And the fermentation process
may bring
out all the other curcuminoids. You can compare this now to a head of cabbage, which has a particular amount of vitamin C, but when you ferment it to sauerkraut or kimchi, the vitamin C is increased tenfold.
Right. And a similar process with aged garlic extract. It changes the compounds.
It is
actually essentially a fermentation process
that
enhances the production or bioavailability.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So a new chapter makes a fermented curcumin. I'm not familiar with it. I don't know how well tested it is clinically in terms of clinical studies that show the endpoint, because they may say, well, the composition is, you know, it has all these good things in it. But clinically, has it been proven to be as effective for, say, arthritis, joint problems, as other brands that have been tested in clinical settings? I don't know.
Right. So it's actually a good question. I wouldn't see the harm in, you know, trying.
And there's
something
even recipes
like that.
I've looked on the internet where you can ferment your own curcumin. You know, you
there
can
you
make
go.
A fermented curcumin.
Everybody's making their own yogurt and kefir and their own sauerkraut.
I guess you just start with turmeric and do something.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, John, thank you for your question. Okay. We have, we've got a question from Billy. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. My mom and I listen to you all the time on our Amazon Alexa device.
Alexa, play Intelligent Medicine.
And thank you for making it available there. I don't think you make it available on Alexa. Alexa goes wherever you need her to go, right?
Yeah.
I'm not even sure.
Actually, there's this new app where you just say, Alexa, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and I appear as a hologram in your room.
Ah!
But it's like we're beta testing it now.
Okay. Try to stop me from laughing.
Okay.
All right. And everybody, beware of your listening devices. Beware of your smart devices at home.
Be careful what you say.
Be careful what you say and be careful what you're wearing if there's a camera attached. All right. I am a 38-year-old healthy male. I'm going to South India in the fall. Should I get vaccinations? And if so, which ones? Should I be considering hepatitis A, typhoid, malaria? Thank you for your help. Okay.
So there are...
I want to know if Billy asked Alexa that question.
Alexa could answer, and Alexa would tell him, go to WHO, World Health Organization.
Right, okay? Right.
Because here it is. WHO recommendations for routine immunization summary tables. Blah, 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 blah. Actually, no, this is more for... I got to say, this is more for like routine
vaccinations. Not necessarily
for travel vaccinations.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a place where you can get travel vaccinations recommendations for, you know, country specific and also even breaking it down by regions because, you know, India is a big country. China is a big country.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, if you're going to like Beijing and you're going to stay at a, you know, a luxury hotel, you don't need as many vaccinations, you know, you need like yellow fever shots that you would get if you were going to the countryside. But it, actually, here it is. It's CDC, Centers for Disease Control. It says, where are you going? Okay, so this is...
So go to cdc.gov.
Yeah, it's www.nc, www.cdc.gov. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So instead of www, it's www.nc. Three W's followed by an NC.
Never seen that before.
.cdc.gov. It's a special domain.
Mm-hmm.
And so it actually says, where are you going? So let's pick a place.
South India?
pick a country, any country, any country in the world. Pick a country.
Kenya.
Okay, bingo. Kenya, it is. Kenya. Are you sure you don't want to go to the Holy See?
Okay.
What kind of vaccinations do you need there?
The Holy See.
The Vatican.
Oh, the Vatican.
Exactly. What kind of vaccines do I need to go to the Vatican? Depends on what you're going to do there. Okay, let's see. We're talking Kenya. Kenya. Bingo. So Kenya. It should say, okay, Kenya, then it even says, what kind of traveler are you? Traveling with children. Or if you're immunocompromised. Or if you're pregnant.
Mm.
Or if you're on a mission for disaster relief. Or if you're just on a cruise ship.
These are pertinent questions.
So let's just say, just for sake of argument, you are for an extended stay, study abroad.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So,
which means you're not staying in a hotel. You'll be out and about. You'll be eating at local
places. So it says
places.
Most travelers could get away with hepatitis A and typhoid. Okay.
Huh. Uh-huh.
I'm sorry. There's no, typhoid is the risk.
Okay.
So
beware.
I'm sorry. Yeah, there is typhoid vaccine. So
typhoid. Mm-hmm.
Typhoid, hepatitis A. Some travelers may want to know about cholera, hepatitis B, malaria.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got to look at where you're going for extended stay. If you'll be spending a long time in malaria risk area, you should take medicine to prevent malaria because there is no real good malaria vaccine.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you should take prophylactic medication.
Mm-hmm.
Rabies can be found in dogs, bats, and other mammals in Kenya. So they'd recommend this vaccine for, certain groups who are getting into the real nitty gritty there.
Mm-hmm.
Yellow fever is a risk in certain parts of Kenya, so blah, 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 blah. And yeah, so there you go. Dr. Google is your best source.
Yeah.
www.nc.cdc.gov. It's handy if you're going to do some exotic travel. You can find out if, Zika is an issue in the country you're going to.
We haven't heard about Zika in a while.
No, it seems to have been subsided. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean.
Wow. Okay. All right. Billy, thank you for your question and enjoy your travels.
Either that or they're hushing it up because otherwise, Puerto Rico would really be in trouble. Between Zika and the hurricane. It really took, the economy took a real hit.
Yeah. We've got an email from Jean. He writes, "Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, could you possibly talk about OCD, particularly excessive hand washing? My mother uses plastic grocery bags to touch everything, aluminum foil as a barrier on handles, and washes her hands excessively and many times with baking soda. I think this stems back to a traumatic car accident where she had patches on her eye, was told she might not be able to see again. Now she's afraid of things like battery acid, and anybody who's coming into the house must wash their hands with baking soda. I don't know what to do. I'm kind of lost. She's also in remission from acute leukemia as well.
Mm-hmm.
She listens to your program a lot and respects what you guys say."
Okay. So since we're running a little short on time, and I want to go over this very thoroughly.
Yeah.
Multiple times. I'm going to repeat this five times over.
Five times
over. Just so to make sure you get it.
Okay.
Because I
absolutely.
I just want to make sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because you can't, on one time is not enough.
Wow.
Okay. So we're going to do this in part two.
Part one is time flies.
Over. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So part two, we'll talk a little bit about OCD and is there a natural approach or, is there a pharmaceutical fix for OCD? I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman today with Layla Mutin. We're doing our weekly Q&A with Layla, and we invite you to send questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. This is Intelligent Medicine.